Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and colorful writing instruments. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word.
Well, spring has finally arrived here in Bible Girl land. It's a beautiful day outside and warm and sunny. Seems like it's been slow coming, but finally we have some sunshine and some blue skies. It's really great sitting here at my desk looking out and watching the birds, and it's like a little jolt of enthusiasm whenever spring arrives. I'm also really excited today about this topic of today's podcast. I'm going to do something slightly different here that we haven't done before. I'm going to share with you, I'm excited about this for two reasons. First, I'm going to share with you one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and I have a lot of favorites, but this is one that I recommend to people to read in circumstances a lot, and I read myself quite a great deal. Every Bible I own has a large amount of pen and marker and highlight and ink all over this section of scripture, so I'm really excited to be able to talk about it today. But I'm also excited because what I'm going to talk to you today is really practical and I hope encouraging to you. I thought it would be fun to just kind of take a break from some of the teaching. I know some of the stuff that we did on prayer was really convicting and intense, and I wanted to encourage you today. And so we're going to be going through one of the most encouraging passages to me in Scripture, and that is Psalm 139. I have encouraged people to read this for years. Whenever I counsel or meet with women who are struggling with depression or are going through difficult things in their lives, one of the things I encourage them to do is to take away some of the intense pressure on themselves and just rest in God. And I ask them to just read Psalm 139 every night before they go to bed. And I think it's excellent advice. I've taken it myself many times and have benefited from it, even though I know this passage and I could probably recite vast parts of it to you. It's still, every time I read it, it strikes me fresh and really is an encouraging force in my life. And I hope that it is for you today. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at this passage. I'm going to read it through. It's 24 verses. I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to kind of guide you through the way I do Bible study most frequently, which I mentioned back in some earlier podcasts, where I just ask three simple questions of the text that I read for the day. Now, Rick Warren will say that anytime you have a pen and paper along with your Bible, you're doing Bible study. And I get that, and I think that's a great answer. In fact, I think sometimes we make things way overcomplicated. If you've listened to any of my podcasts, you know I've said that a lot. But I also think that another component that's really integral to Bible study is questions. Asking questions of the text, and they don't have to be complicated, and it doesn't have to be very many questions. The three that we're going to do today are, I think, the best that you can ask if that's all you have time for. And even though I know more complicated methods, even though I have a lot of reference material and Bible study software, and even though I've been studying the Bible since I was a teenager, I rely on these three questions daily. I use these consistently over and over again. Sometimes that's all I ask. Sometimes they're the Bible study, and other times they're just the starting point. Maybe I'm studying a passage to teach from it. This is what I start with. This is what I start with in my personal devotions. This is what I start with when I'm reading just a short section of scripture for a reading I have to do, or just something like that. Everything I approach scripture with, I take these three questions whenever I am trying to grasp the concepts that are in a passage of scripture. And I think these questions will be invaluable to you. The more you tune yourself to begin to ask them, the scriptures open up and they become just alive with help for you and clarity. So we're going to do them today, and I'm going to just kind of share with you what I see, and then I hope that later in the week, maybe you're listening in the car or while you're doing laundry or something, maybe you'll sit aside a few moments and just sit down and read through the passage yourself and make your own notes and answer these three questions. So I'm going to pray with us because I do like, before I dig into a passage of scripture, I like to remind myself that the Holy Spirit is with us, that He is here. His job is to illuminate scripture to us, and His job is to help us to understand what we read and what we see, and to intercede for us in prayer in the ways in which we cannot. And I think all of those parts of His role are important when we sit down with the passage of scripture to remind us of and to thank Him for His help. So let's pray. And then right after the prayer, I'm just going to read Psalm 139. I'll be reading it in the ESV, the English Standard Version, if you'd like to follow along. Dear Father, we thank You for Your word and for the encouragement and the motivation that it gives us. We thank You for how it helps us see You clearly and how it helps us to understand how to live a life that glorifies You and honors You. I ask that You would help us today as we open Your word and we look at these passages. May these verses really illuminate us and to give us some direction, that we would not leave the scriptures unchanged. We thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit to illuminate this and to speak to us today. And in all of these things, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with You. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In Your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with You. Oh, that You would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against You with malicious intent. Your enemies take Your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against You? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Some of that passage is probably pretty familiar to you. There's some passages in there we hear a lot of times. The verse about being fearfully and wonderfully made, I see on notebooks and tote bags and coffee mugs a lot. And some of those verses may have stood out to you, but others might be new. We're going to take a look at these three questions in light of what we just read in Psalm 139. The first question is, what does this passage tell me about God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? We're looking in this scripture to see what it says about God, about who He is, about how He works in the world, about His character, and about His works. And this question is important because scripture is the story of God. It is the story of God on the move. He is doing things. He is acting. He is influencing the events of history, and He is influencing the future history, and He is working around the world in us and in everything in this world. And the Bible shows us that God is doing that. It shows us how He does it, and it teaches us about who He is. And I think this is incredibly important because we respond to God. We've talked in the past, a few podcasts ago, about the fact that, you know, God, any time we are called to pray, that's because God has wooed us to do so. God is the one who acts first and we respond. So we need to understand who God is so that we can respond correctly and properly to him. So here are some things that I noticed as I read through Psalm 139 about God, some things that I learned about him. And the first one is that he searches us and he knows us. He knows who we are. He knows what you're like. He knows everything about you. He sees you when you're awake or asleep. He sees our outer actions, but also sees our inner thoughts. He sees us when we're at work. He sees us when we're at rest. He knows how we tick, how we operate, how we think. He knows our motivations, and he knows these things before we know them. It's interesting, before, there's a place where it says, even before I say something, you know it. Even before verse 4, a word is on my tongue, you know it altogether. God knows all of these things about us. Sometimes we're still learning them about ourselves, but God knows them. In verse 5, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. This is one of my all-time favorite verses in scripture. This verse I memorized last year when I went to Russia on a mission trip. I felt like it was a really important verse. I send this verse whether by text or email or card or pray it personally with people who are going into surgery or who are going through difficult times in their lives, a reminder that God is in front of us and behind us, and he has laid his hand upon us. That comforting presence of God. Do you know that God is with you? He goes before whatever you go through. He comes behind you and he lays his hand upon you. You are completely encompassed and protected by God. He goes behind and before you, and he lays his hand upon you. God is everywhere. In the next section of verses of one, in 139, the psalmist, he's talking about how it doesn't matter where I go. I could go the farthest part away. I could go deep in the ocean. I could go to where it's dark and I could hide. And none of these things will keep me from God, because God is everywhere. There is no darkness with God. God is light, and God illuminates darkness with his light. That is probably one of the most comforting concepts of God. How much of your life some days do you feel like is very cloudy and murky? The path you're taking, your job situation, maybe, you know, you're struggling with raising a teenager, or you're having some problems with your mother-in-law, or you're moving to a new area and you don't know anything. There's so much in our lives that gets cloudy and dark and murky, and we can't see the path forward. And it's comforting to know that there is no darkness with God. He sees it clearly. And this is the same God who sees your future and sees the way to go and sees the areas that are dark to you, is the same God who goes before you and behind you and lays his hand upon you. God is our creator. The next section talks about how we are made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God knit us together in our mother's womb. He is the creator of life. And God knows our future. All the days of the earth, all the days of you, your life, were written before you were ever born. You know, God always existed in the beginning. God always has been. When God created the world, he had been himself never created. He is the only uncreated being. He has always existed. And God exists into infinity. So God knows past and future. He knows all things. And he knows your future. He knows the future of your children. He knows the future of this world. He knows the future of our nation. He knows what will happen. He knows the days that are planned for us. He knows the things that are coming our way. That's comforting. My mom has a little thing she tells me all the time whenever I get freaked out about something, or something happens I wasn't expecting and I'm all panicked. And my mom will remind me, this only came as a surprise to you. It did not come as a surprise to God. And he's been preparing you for that moment, whether you've realized it or not. How comforting to know that God knows what's coming. If you were to get up tomorrow and you were to get bad news, or you were to get into a fender bender, or we were to have a monsoon sweep through and you were to lose everything, or just whatever tragedy you could think of that would happen to you tomorrow, know that God knows about it today. That is so staggering to my mind to think about it, that God knows the events that are coming. And he knows how I'll react. And he knows what I'll need. He knows what I will need to be able to make it through those things. God is always with us, whether we're aware of it or not. And that's interesting to me. If David talks about in verse 18 about falling asleep and waking up and God still being there. God was there with him when he was asleep, when he was unaware, when he wasn't thinking about God. God was still thinking about him. So once you take a passage and you look about at all the things that you've learned about God, then you want to ask yourself another question. What does this passage tell me about myself or about humans in general? And this is where you kind of have to take the passage. Some verses you'll look at with a slightly different lens than another. So some things in God's word are specific to the people that went through them. I will give you an example. In this passage in Psalm 139, there's a section in verses 19 through 22 where David begins to talk about the Lord's enemies and how he hates them and how he does not want to stand with the enemy. He stands against God's enemies. And this is kind of pertinent to David's situation and what he's going through there. I don't necessarily know that when you're reading through that there's a specific instance that he's referring to. I mean, we know that David struggled greatly with many of God's enemies. But in this passage, there's this little section that's David's speaking. It's his experience. It's his life, and it meant something to him. Then there's the things that apply to the character that's speaking, the person that's speaking or writing the book, and they are universal. They are things that are true for all of us. And so we kind of have to pull out those things. What things are universal in this world and that apply to me as well as to the person who is speaking or writing this particular passage. So there's a good bit in here, and I have five things that I kind of pulled out from this section of scripture that tells me a little bit about myself and about humans on this that are walking this earth, mankind. The first thing is that I am known. Someone knows me. Someone knows my quirks and my idiosyncrasies. Someone knows my personality, my talents, and my hobbies. Someone knows how I waste my time and how I love to be productive. God knows who I am. I am known by him. Do you ever get the feeling that no one understands you, that you're speaking a foreign language? I think we all have done that a time or two. If you have teenagers, I'm sure you've experienced that. Junior high, kids in your home, you know, you think that, you know, what you're saying is foreign to them. No one gets you. No one understands you. We all kind of go through periods like that where we just don't feel known. And we can step back and we can remember that I am known, that God, the King of the universe, created me and he knows me. He knows who I am. The next thing I discovered is that I'm never alone. There are many moments that I feel alone. I am single. I don't have a husband. I live with some family nearby. I actually share a house with my mom and my nephew and my brother and his wife live next door. And so I have people around me, but I do a lot of my life myself. If I'm in the car, there's a good chance that I'm by myself. I drive a lot for my job here and there and meeting with people. And I spend a lot of time by myself. And it's comforting some days to remember that even though I am physically alone in my car or in my house or eating a meal or whatever, that I am not really alone. That God is there with me. He is there with me when I'm doing things that make me nervous, when I am out of my league a bit, when I'm in over my head. He is there with me. He's there with me when I go through difficulties. I remember last summer, our first day of vacation Bible school, I was in a car accident, and I remember trying to reach somebody in my family to come get me, and just kind of standing there by myself alongside the road. And I remembered instantly this passage of scripture that I'm not alone. And even though the situation was a little frightening, and even though I was shook up a little bit, I was not alone. God was there. He was right with me, and He was holding me up through that. It's very comforting to realize that someone knows us, and that person sticks around. That person's always there. He's not going away when we fall asleep or when we're overwhelmed with something. He doesn't say, hey, you're a downer, I'm going to move on. He sticks with us. He stays there, and we are never alone. If that's true, then the next thing has to be true. I can't run from God. I can't go somewhere where God is not. I cannot run away from Him. I can turn away from Him, but He is still there. He's just facing my back instead of my front. We can't run from God. We really can't go anywhere that God can't grasp us. And in your darkest moments, in the moment of your greatest weakness, in the days when you're discouraged over your sin or over your inability to change, remember that you can't go somewhere that God isn't, that God's invested in you. He's thrown in His lot with you, and He's hanging in through thick and thin, and you can't get away from Him. Number four, you're wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you the unique, wonderful person that you are. We all have our days where we think that we're just marching to a different drummer, and maybe no one else out there kind of gets us. And it's comforting to know that you were created to be yourself, to be unique. You have a unique set of skills and abilities that God has designed you with. He's given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you passions in your heart and desires and interests and longings that are all being used for His glory and to grow you into the kind of person who is strong in your faith and valuable for the kingdom of God. You are made exactly perfectly as God created you. God wanted you to be the way that you are in your gifts and your talents and your personality. I know so many people that struggle with their personality. I've done so. You know, I have a very choleric, take charge, bossy kind of personality. And there have been times where, you know, I've really felt bothered by that. I wish I were a little kinder. I wish it were easier to take people's feelings into account. Sometimes I steamroll over people or bulldoze my way through things. And I really desperately wanted to be a different personality, somebody a little more laid back and not so driven. But then there are the days when I realize, you know, the world needs people like me. The world needs people who are willing to say the hard truth and are willing to work hard to get things done, even when there are others in opposition. The world needs leaders. The world needs people to stand up and take charge. And where would we be without them? My gifts and my passions and my personality, those things can all greatly be used for the kingdom of God as long as they're surrendered to Him. And so remembering that God made me this way, He wanted me this, there are things that I can accomplish that no one else can because of the situation God has placed me in and the personality and the talents and the abilities that He's given to me. Remember that the next time you feel out of place or the next time you're afraid to let your true self shine. You were created that way because that's what God needs from you and that's what the world needs from you. The last thing I jotted down here as I read through this passage is that my future is secure. If God knows the future, if God knew me in the womb and knew what I would become, if God knew what was coming for me, if He knows what's going on, if all of the days of my life were known to God before I was ever created, my future is secure. There's no need to dwell on the past or worry about what's coming because it's in the hands of God. So the last question you ask yourself once you've discovered what you see in this passage about God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, And then you discover what the passage says about us, people, humans, maybe you yourself personally, or people in general. You ask yourself this last question, in light of what I've just learned about God and myself, what do I need to do? What is this leading me to do? Is there something, you kind of think about actions. Is there an action I need to take? Or is there a way of thinking I need to change? Is there something that I need to stop doing? Is there a command of God that I need to be sure I am obeying? Is there a heart area that I need to address? Is there something I need to take to God in prayer? In light of what I know now from this passage about God and myself, what does that lead me to do? And I'll tell you three that kind of came from this for me just in reading this fresh this morning. The first thing is it leads me to praise God. The fact that I'm known, that He sticks with me, that He hangs out and doesn't run away when life is overwhelming, when I want to run away, God stays faithful. When God is going behind me and before me and lays His hand upon me and illuminates the darkness in front of me, I want to praise Him. I want to say thank you. Thank you for this. I am encouraged by these thoughts and I want to thank God for them. The second thing is it reminds me that I need to be faithful and trusting God with my heart. There's no need to fear. A God who sticks with me, a God who knows who I am, who has all the days of my life laid out before Him, this God can be trusted. He can be trusted with my heart. There is no need to fear Him. And then lastly, I need to believe God. If I've been made well, if I am fearfully and wonderfully made, if God is in control of my life, if God is with me, then I need to believe that enough to step out in faith and do what I know He's called me to do. That might mean embracing my personality and using it for His kingdom. That might mean taking some of the talents that I've let sit dormant for a while and step out in faith and give them a try and use them to build up the church of God and to disciple others. If I believe what God says about me and about Him, then I need to change some actions. I need to make sure that I'm acting in a way that proves I know I am made well, that God created me who I am for a reason, and that God is with me wherever I go. I hope this passage has been an encouragement to you, and I hope it encourages you to do some more Bible study on your own. Those three simple questions will help you look at any passage of Scripture and illuminate it for you. You'll see how God is working in the Bible and see correlations to how He's working in the world today. You'll get to understand yourself a little bit better and things that God knows about you that maybe you didn't realize about yourself. And you'll also have some steps to take in the future as you begin to apply Scripture to your life. I can think of no better questions to get started on your own methods of Bible study. I'll see you back here next week. I hope you have a great day. Thanks for joining me today. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at tobiblegirl@icloud.com. That's tobiblegirl@icloud.com. You can find me on Twitter, Goodreads, and Instagram as Jessie L. Robinson, all one word. You can download today's show notes on my podcast page, which is at BibleGirl.podbean.com. I hope you join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.